Hello and welcome to episode 12 of Oh Brother, the final episode of series 1. You can find us at Spotify, Apple and all the usual suspects, but we're hosted at play.acast.com/s/oldbrother. All previous episodes are also available on YouTube. You can search for Old Brother Podcast and subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. In the interest of symmetry, this episode, like episode 1, only features me and Steve. But this time round, we'll be attempting to answer listeners' questions. Hope you enjoy it.
Okay, this is a bonus feature, as prompted by Steve asking people if they had any questions for us. Not the cleverest of ideas, in my opinion, but never mind, we'll give it a go. Right. This one's for you, and it's from Danny Noll, whose name crops up on this list more than once. I don't know if you're familiar with his work, Steve. I think you probably are.
I'm aware of him, yes.
He sent me a question the other day. You know that brown jumper you had on?
Yeah, he has put a lot of work in.
You're not kidding. Jesus.
He's
incredible.
Put a lot of work into
the minutiae of what goes on.
Yeah, and just keeping things going.
Brilliant. I mean, some of the detective work he's done digging out, like that thing with, what's it? What's the, there's a song about the, is it Pete Tong? And he found the magazine, the railway, Virgin Railways magazine. Incredible. Anyway. Right, here we go. First question from Danny Noll.
I don't think there's anything he doesn't know that I could...
I think he probably could answer this one better than he could.
Okay.
Seeing as he probably wasn't born. Right. Okay. Where did Staff 9 get their name from? What does it mean? Theories include crossword clues or that it's something to do with musical notation. I think we can blow that one out of the water straight away, can't we? Musical notation.
All right. Well, as we found with this thing, people's 40-year-old memories are very different, aren't they?
Right.
So, but my memory of this is that we'd put the band together and it was suggested that we may get some gig support in the fall because we were
right
roadieing and helping out.
Yep.
And as people know, I suppose, when you're thinking of band names, there's a lot that are bandied about and there's loads of suggestions. Most of them are dismissed.
Yep.
But then Craig had this name, which was Stall 9.
Okay.
Which I think he'd got from some literature.
Yeah, it sounds like, I don't know, is it?
Yeah, and then from what I can remember, Kay phoned me and said, we need a name for the poster. Right. And I panicked a bit and said, Craig's come up with a new name. I think it's Staff 9. Which luckily, very luckily, he liked as well.
Just as well, isn't it?
It just is. I'd still be hearing about it now.
Right, that's clear.
So that's one my memories of it. But
okay, right, here we are. Next question from Jonathan.
To answer that, there is no real meaning.
It means absolutely. Well, all the best. I reckon that all the best band names don't actually mean anything. They sound like they should mean something, but they don't necessarily do. Because if you get stuck with it, don't you? And if you get too closely tied into something proper, you want them. Yeah. You want them to sound. Yeah. Literally, meaning now.
The other day, I was reading an article about Spandau Ballet.
Yeah.
That was something scrawled on a wall in Berlin. Yeah. And
well, it's the place, isn't it, where thingy, Rudolf Hess was, isn't it, Spandau?
Yeah.
You haven't forgotten Rudolf Hess.
I know that, but I don't think there's any ballets going on, was there?
He was the only bloody. He was the only bloody prisoner. It wouldn't have been much of a ballet. Was it? Okay. Right. Jonathan M. Were you both surprised at the time that the sessions for the Marquee Cha Cha single became extended with the Room to Live LP as a result? I really like that album, though I know it received short shrift at the time. So I'm not so sure that it was a single. Was it?
I don't think we went in there with the intention of just doing a single because that was booked for quite a while, that studio.
It was. It was a week, wasn't it, at least?
At least, yeah.
Well, there's no way we'd have booked a studio for a week to do a single.
No. No.
What would the single have been? Oh, well, Marquee Chachi. And anyway, that, I don't believe that. There's no way that we would go. We weren't in that studio with the intention of Marquee Chachi being a single, because none of us had ever even heard of it, had we?
Didn't even know what it was, really.
No.
It was one. What was it? A rough idea between Mark and Carl?
I think it was Carl. Yeah, he wrote the music, didn't he? So yeah, I mean, that I don't. That's not what happened. We didn't go in to record Marquee Chachi as a single because, you know, famously, Mark and Craig aren't on it, are they?
No, and we did have a lot of songs.
Yeah, well, we did have a few ones, didn't we? With, you know, with all six of us on, which wasn't how it turned out, but we had like backdrop and what have you.
Slipper in studio. Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? Joker and Tackle Face, yeah.
Yeah, we had quite a few songs. I mean, it was quite the rush after Hex, wasn't it? It wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't long. Well, I mean, we always had songs, didn't we?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think we already were playing some of the stuff that eventually came out on Perverted by Language as well, I think. Was Tempo House one of them? And maybe that was slightly later. And Feel Voxish, I'm sure we were doing that with Mark.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah?
Right. Yeah.
So we weren't surprised because it wasn't ever going to be a single, were we?
I think the idea was to go in and do a looser album to Hex, wasn't it?
Perhaps not quite that loose.
Not quite. It succeeded in a lot of ways.
Right, okay. This one's from Ant Volley. Not Ant as in anti-volley, it's A-N-T. Right. Anodyne question, but any studio sessions... Peely, LP, EP or single, whatever, stand out in your memory as being particularly enjoyable / special? I think what the Slates was really good. I think that was the first, that was, we were in London, it was the first decent studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Cargo was pretty good, but Slates seemed like a step up.
It was a step up, yeah. But I mean, apart from the obvious, which has been discussed.
What's that?
Well, the obvious problems in the studio.
Which were, what problems in? I don't remember any problems in. Oh, you mean Middlemass?
Yes.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, I think that passed me by at the time. So I was in blissful ignorance of it. I didn't know any of that went on. I don't think. I only found out about that later.
Right.
I loved it in there. I thought that was a great session.
And it was mostly a great atmosphere and really sort of good working atmosphere.
Yeah. It comes across as well, doesn't it? I think.
Yeah. It does come across. Yeah.
I mean, I've said it. The other one I really enjoyed was when we did "Living Too Late" and not "Aftershave." But I think the reason I would that because I was just guesting really, and I wasn't on the payroll, so it was dead enjoyable. That, it was dead, no pressure at all. Which ones were?
There is certain albums I really enjoyed making more than others. Yeah, I seem to remember Extricate being good and a lot of the Beggars ones as well.
Yeah.
Infotainment Scam was a really good time. I do think it comes across in the album.
Yeah.
When you listen to it, that the sort of band were all working in the same direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a bit of a contrast thing, isn't it? Because the only one where we weren't for me was at the aforementioned Room to Live. That was, I mean, we were always working in the same direction up till then, weren't we, I think?
Yeah. I've got really good memories of that first Peel session.
Oh, Peel session, yeah, definitely. That was
most amazing. Them were great, to be fair, but that first one stands out.
Yeah, definitely for me, that, because that was, like, that was your first, same one, wasn't it, weirdly?
Same one, yeah.
So that was just brilliant, wasn't it, going in the BBC to do that. Maida Vale was a great place to go, I think.
It was. And it was perfect for the fall, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Subsidised canteen, as I've mentioned before. So you get a decent meal for 50p.
Yeah. The song's down in a day.
Yeah. Right, okay. This one's Matthew Connolly, friend of mine. It was a friend of mine until he put this question in. If it's not your granny on bongos, if it's not your granny, who is on bongos? Well, that's Steve Davis, isn't it? Not the snooker player. He would be the bongo player.
He's the only bongo player I remember being involved, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he played on that Peel session that resulted in Eric not bothering, didn't he?
Yes.
Played on Rebellious Jukebox. And then he came back, so he played a couple of gigs. He played when we did the Rainbow supporting the Cure.
Yeah.
He played. And that was because he took over for me, didn't he?
Yeah. He did. We did a fairly disastrous tour of the Netherlands.
Thank Christ.
With him. Not on the kit, though, not on just on the bongo.
Right, okay. God, that'd have been a bit weird, wouldn't it? Be like bloody Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Which I seem to remember the kit being destroyed every night.
Yes, it was my kit. I mean, it wasn't great to begin with.
Didn't come back in such a great
state. Bloody matchsticks when it came back. Christ. But yeah, he played, well, it was congas, really, more properly, wasn't he? But that's the nearest fall ever got to a bongo player, I think. He was good, wasn't he?
He was good, yeah.
That pink version of Rebellious Jukebox with him on the congas is really good.
That's really good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right, here we go. That's enough for Steve. Oh, hello, Steve, if you're listening. He was in a band called Victor Drago, wasn't he? Who supported us a few times.
Yeah.
What was the name of the guitarist? I think he passed away now, I think. God rest his soul. What was it? He was a great lad as well.
They were all great lads, weren't they? They were all sort of eccentric in their own way.
You could say that. I remember when we played the Rainbow, he came with us, Waterfoot Dandy, and he'd painted a stripe on his jacket, you know, like on the lapels, you know, like the prisoner. Yeah. He has the white stripe around. Well, he'd painted a red stripe around the collar of his jacket, I seem to recall. I don't know why that stuck in my memory.
I remember he went up to Susie Sue.
Yes.
And said, I'm from the Rossendale Free Press. Have you got anything to say?
Right, next question. I've not got a name for this. It might be Darren. Sorry if I seem a bit thick, Steve. Oh, that's not it. No, there's a question as well. Who came up with the Cruisers Creek bass line?
Well,
it's a riff, isn't it? It's not, is it? You're all playing the same thing, aren't you?
It's pretty much that riff is pretty much following the guitar, isn't it?
I think so.
But it was Simon who came up with it, Simon Rogers.
Oh, right.
That was done in my sort of paternity leave. That
was it
written and recorded.
Well, you're on it though, aren't you, Cruisers Creek?
I'm not on the single.
You know, I thought you were. No. I thought it was Rolling Danny you weren't on.
Well, that was the single, the B-side.
Ah, got it. Right,
That was the B-side of Cruisers Creek.
Right.
Oh, no.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, it's couldn't get ahead in Rolling Danny, isn't it?
You tell me. You're the one not on it. Well, if you look at them, we're both not on it. I thought Cruisers Creek was a single in its own right.
I think they did that in that session.
Oh, right, okay.
In that recording session. They did so much in that 3 months.
Yeah, when they were finally, you know.
When they finally had a decent
with a dart and got, you know, they were away, weren't they, when you were on?
They did so much in that 3 or 4 months. They did an American tour, British tour.
No, they didn't. There was two singles then. Two singles.
Singles, yeah.
Deal, right. Well, I mean, I'm sure someone will
pop Cruisers Creek came out after I'd gone back.
Yeah, because you're on that. What was it called? The program you did it on? The Roxy, was it? Did you do it on that? Or was it the Tube you did it on?
I don't think we did Cruisers Creek on the Tube.
There's some film of you doing it on TV.
Right.
Definitely is. Well, I thought possibly the Tube.
Well, here we go again with the memories. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not on the.
Okay.
I'm not on the recorded version of that.
We've really cleared that up, then, haven't we? Thanks. Sorry if you are a bit thick. Yeah. Even the bleeding band can't remember who's on it. Right. Okay. Next question: what were the Sirens like? Any good? That's Darren Elgar. So the Sirens was the band you, Mark, and Craig were in before Mark joined the Fall. That's correct, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. We only played one gig. So whether we're any good or not is probably pretty hard to tell.
Pips, was it? Pennell Street?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it had the potential.
Yeah.
Well, the singer seems to be going around with the fast cars, and the drummer was a student who was in Manchester called Paul Eastman, and so I think it had the potential, but it never got realised because Steve.
It's a shit business.
After the first gig, yeah.
Okay. Right. Next question. Who are your favourite bass players? There's two questions here. And who did you learn from growing up?
Right, well, learn from is obviously Mark Riley.
Yeah.
Because he was the first one to buy a guitar, the first one to talk about getting a band together. I originally was going to buy a drum kit.
Thank Christ you didn't. That's all I can say.
Saved the world a lot, I think. But I ended up buying a bass, and then we'd be in his house and my house, and I've just checked a quote of mine. The first song Mark taught me was "Hey Joe" by.
Yes, yeah, I know that because I've mentioned that. Well, we did this thing for the Giddy Carousel of Pop, and I remembered that that was the first song you ever learned on the bass. So Mark showed you that. Well, I mean, Mark showed you everything, really. if it wasn't for him, mate, you'd still be pulling pipes in the sale hotel.
Well, I don't know about that, but
yeah. It's shut down now.
So he was a year or so ahead of me, at least. And then, then we'd work out Buzzcocks songs, try and work out the bass line to Boredom and Stranglers, and just.
So, who were your favourite bass players then?
Yeah, there's a question. Yeah, that's a question you know before question, yeah, until you get asked. Overend Watts. I'm going to say Bruce Foxton.
Right.
Guy out of Madness.
Oh, you love him, don't you? Can't even remember his pissing name, but you know. Mark. Mark.
Bedders, isn't
it? Yeah. But it can't, so it must have been Overend Watts growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I was never. I don't remember going to see them. And yeah, Trevor Boulder, of course, but I don't remember going to see them and thinking that's what I want to do.
No, you're not going to watch Bowie at bloody in London and looking at Trevor fucking Boulder.
No,
are you?
No.
The best will in the world.
Got to see Genesis.
Was very good. who was the bass player in Genesis? Was it Mike Rutherford? Was he the bass player?
He had a double, didn't he?
What? Like I was Monty's double? That kind of what the bloke who looked just like him?
A double neck. I don't know how he made that work, but he.
Well, you see, that's just like the Spinal Tap thing, isn't it? Right, double bass, double neck bass.
No, I think he had a guitar.
All right, because I always thought that was great. That Spinal Tap. What's the bleeding difference? You've got two basses.
Well, I think that's the point, isn't it? But I think Mike Rutherford had a guitar and a bass. So I don't know what happened when he was playing the guitar.
The other guitarist couldn't hack it. Hey. Thank you very much. Thank you. Right, okay. Perhaps impossible of answer. Probably not more impossible than the last question. But right. Perhaps impossible to answer. What do each of you consider was the ultimate fall lineup?
Come on.
Easy that, go on.
Oh, come on, man.
Listen, you've got to do it in one you were in and one you...
How many people would I upset by answering that?
Yeah, well, I think you could only do it one you weren't in and one you were in, possibly. But even then, it's a bit... Well, the one you weren't in is easy enough, but the one you were in...
Obviously, the one I wasn't in was that lineup.
Yeah. I mean, it was literally was the ultimate fall lineup, wasn't it?
Well,
They were great then. But
the great thing about the fall was why I hate that Granny on Bongo's call, because there were so many great people involved in that band.
Because I'm thinking about that, personally, for me, it was the Hex lineup was the one for me because it was, it was, I was the right age. I had my mates and my brother and Carl for entertainment, and we were making great stuff. But then, you could say the other lineups, that doesn't mean the other lineups weren't really good as well. But and then,
the Brick and Marsha, Martin and Marsha.
Dave Bush is brilliant.
Dave Bush, man, yeah. It's a really tricky question to answer. I mean, I've been casting my mind back now recently, since that St. Helens Technical College album came out, that it would have been interesting to see where that could have gone.
I mean, so we had, I mean, there was the...
Because that's in a world of its own, that music.
So you mean without Carl coming back, just the five of us carrying on?
Yeah.
Because it did take it in a completely different direction, Carl coming back, didn't it, I suppose? Which, I mean, whether it's better or worse, I don't know. But, yeah, I know what you mean. It would have been... I mean, I always think that about the first lineup, you know, the Witch Trials. Where could that have gone as well?
Where could that have gone as well?
Because if you think about that first album, I mean, there was only Martin really writing then. If you you know, if it carried on and Mark had started writing as well, Mark Riley, I mean, that was, you know, they had the potential there to be a really big band, I think.
They did. They had everything,
Aye. I mean, he was a bit of a rock star, Martin, as well, you know, to look at, wasn't he? You know what I mean? He was like, he was quite cool in a way that me and thee never quite managed. You know, he was quite cool, Martin, wasn't he?
He was. He definitely had the look and the attitude. And so did Carl, you know.
Carl was a rock star going to the shops to buy a paper, wasn't he? Let's face it.
He was.
Right.
Not that he read very much. to buy a gun magazine.
Right, okay. Do you think the always different, always... There's another quote I can't start. Do you think the always different, always the same stems from changing musicians and the one constant, Mark E. Smith? I'm not so sure that's what he meant by that, Peel. I think he was talking about the sound, really, where...
I think he kind of meant whatever they do. It's kind of true, isn't it? If we tried to put our hand at reggae or whatever, or dance music later on, it still sounded like the Fall.
Yeah, that's it, I think. I think it was quite unusual in the band. I mean, certain bands can do it, but where you can play different sort of styles but still sound like the Fall. It's quite unusual, that, because I think part of that is that nobody was a massively brilliant, you know, session musician. Because where you can say, right, we're going to do a reggae song and you play it like proper reggae, or you're going to do, you know what I mean?
We could only play how we play.
That's right. Which, you know, at the end of the day, well, that's what you want, isn't it?
It was enough, I think, yeah.
Right, next question. For years, the transcripts, I presume the lyrics, right, had the Cafe... IOL in Iceland. That's Iceland, the song. So Mark says in the Cafe IOL. So is it Cafe IOL or was it Cafe Isle? God, we're getting into... So that's Isle as in A-I-S-L-E, Isle, like, you know.
So, yes, I know, yeah.
So I don't remember there being a Cafe IOL, do you?
I seem to remember there being a Cafe IOL, Cafe IOL in the hotel in Reykjavik.
So Hotel Borg? Or was that where we were staying, Hotel Borg? Was that where we played, or was that both? Did we play in the...
I don't think we played in the hotel we stayed at.
Why the bleeding hell not? We were playing in a hotel and staying in a different hotel. Who thought of that?
Yeah, but it had a venue in it, didn't it?
It did have a venue in it, because it had a venue in it with no stage, if you recall.
Yeah, we did. Well, that was just like a big modern hotel, wasn't it, where we stayed?
Yes, it was.
Well, I seem to remember it had a Cafe at IOL.
Right, okay. But you never know with these things. It might be that you've read it and then it certainly gets put in your head, doesn't it? I was convinced that it was. Well, I'm not convinced, but I didn't think it was. But then again, I don't know. Who knows? You need someone to go out there and find out. But I think people have tried. I'm sure. I'm sure Stuart Lee said he went looking for it and it's, you know, nobody had ever heard of it. I suppose if it could have been the name of the cafe in the hotel, then there wouldn't have been a sign or anything, would there? So, right, anyway, moving on. We're never going to get to the bottom of that one. Right.
I think that, you know, there was a cafe that you didn't have to be staying at the hotel to go in.
Ah, right, okay.
But, I mean, like I say, it is 4 years.
I remember we had vouchers for the cafe. I remember that.
We did.
So is this cafe, is it in the hotel we're staying at, or in the hotel?
Yeah, the hotel we're staying at, yeah. Okay. Grant might know.
Grand Mike, well, though, yeah. I'll ask him. Okay, right. Was there ever... Next question. This is somebody... Well, that's confusing. Cruiser's Creek is the name of the person who asked the question. I'm sure that's not his real name, but was there ever any discussion of the Fall releasing records on Factory?
I think it was probably that discussion would have been made between Mark and Kay and would never have got to us until it was decided.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But yeah. I do seem to think it was... It did crop up from time to time when we were signed to Rough Trade, and I think if you look at Factory's sort of roster, the stuff they released was just people they were mostly people they were involved with and friends of friends.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
From what I can gather, I don't think they were trawling through demo tapes, were they?
I wouldn't have thought Tony Wilson was spending his evenings going through cassettes. No. So, I mean, possibly they would have had the Fall, but Mark and Kay didn't want to do it. You think it'd be that way around? Possibly.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah. I think that would have been the case, yeah. I mean, it might have been a massive deal, or it might have just been a single.
Yeah.
But there was definitely talk about us doing something with Factory.
I mean, you get for what Mark said in interviews, we always got on. Like, Rob Gretton was always friendly. Great. Wasn't he?
And they always got on well with Tony Wilson, didn't they, Mark?
Yeah. Apart from when she was on the phone with him in that video. That was a bad date. Right, okay.
That's Kay getting on great.
Yeah.
You should have seen her when she was annoyed. Well, you did.
I did, I'm afraid. Yeah. Right, moving on. What is your favourite post Hanley Fall song? That's from Itchy Barry.
Right, well, it did take me a few years. I didn't listen to them. I must admit, I didn't listen to them for quite a few years after I left. Obviously, they crop up after every now and again. And
yeah.
Especially, you know, when the car advert come on the TV. And I couldn't find the remote. a few of, like, show, cropped up over the, I really like that Venice with the Girls. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Such a great riff. And I think they were masters of a great riff, weren't they?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If that line, that Wolf Kid Up Man, I don't know if you've heard that. That is the riff. That is just, and it's really well produced. Well, there's two versions. I think one's Grant's version. I think he was talking about it, wasn't it, the other week? Mm. Britannia Roll version. And the both of them just really, you know, like when you know you would get hold of a riff and ring the living fucking daylights out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Really good. And what's it as well, I thought about.
Moments, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. What About Us? That's Steve Trafford's lineup, isn't it? That's really good as well. That's a good song.
Of course, Blindness.
Blindness, yeah. Aye. Yeah. That's Steve, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dr. Buck's Letter, that was a bit of a cracker. I'm not sure who was on that. We'll get told.
Pretty good, isn't it? Well, very good. It's the theme from Sparta FC.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good, yeah. That's really good. Cracker. Well, there you go. So that's the answer to that. We've got a few. Itchy Belly. Put some cream on it. Right, here's a good one for you, Steve. I'm not sure I can answer this. Did Stardom go to the band's heads?
I think I'd say no.
Let's bring it. Was there anything with Stardom?
I think my memories of that are just being treated slightly better.
Yeah.
So I don't think you could call it Stardom, but I think just internally is you go, you know, from a minibus to a coach with beds.
Yeah.
Decent hotels.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're talking in terms of Stardom, if you and Craig had, you know, in the pub next to the biggest, I don't know where the biggest place you played. How many people in there would know who you were? I don't think there's many. I don't think it was.
Well, I think when where I lived at the time, and when I went to work at that school.
Yeah.
I used to get recognised a lot more for working at the school than I ever did for being in the pub. You're Mr. Hanley, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I think the Fall are more. I think more people know who the Fall are now than
possibly.
Even when they were at the biggest, possibly.
Yeah. Mm. I did get mistaken for you the other day.
Who by?
There's lads outside this bar shouting, Paul.
Oh, what bar was it?
It's the drawing room.
Where the hell's the drawing room?
On Burton Road.
All right, okay. But I didn't owe money, did it?
I've seen them looking over, but and then I had a mask. When I took that off, he started shouting Paul at me.
All right, okay. Okay. Maybe I owe money. I don't know. Right, okay. Here we go. Another Danny Noe. Right. Marky Smith said he didn't like / understand musicians. Obviously, this is at least partly myth-making, and he needed musicians anyway, but I'm in... God, this is a bloody War and Peace, this. But I'm interested if and how tension in approaches might come through on record. That's the first thing. So, I mean, I think it is a bit of myth-making him saying he didn't like musicians. He spent plenty of bloody time with them, didn't he?
Well, pretty much all his life, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you can generalize and call somebody a musician. Is are you going to lump me in with Marcia or Bricks or just like totally different people?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Carl, you wouldn't say Carl and Marcia were exactly the same person, would you? Or any of them, really. I mean, even Mark and Craig weren't exactly, you know, alike in that respect, you know, were they? You could, you know. I mean, yeah, it's a very good point.
I think you can say just because someone's a musician that they've got some kind of trait about them that makes them all the same.
Yeah, I mean, and again, there are certain musicians who seem to disappear, you know, up their own arse talking about guitars all the time and pedals and, you know, but whoever that was, it certainly wasn't anybody who was in the world. Must be joking. So, I mean, I'm not just us either. I don't, but there was never a lineup of the Fall where they were that kind of typical, all they ever talked about was music.
No, and I mean, and it wasn't, and we have been in bands since, me and you, and that has stood out that when we were in the Fall, we rarely talked about the music.
If at all, yeah.
I mean, rarely talked about equipment or what we were, but.
You'd only have to look at our equipment to see that we didn't spend much time talking about equipment. Would you? Yeah, so I mean, I think it is a bit of myth making, that, isn't it?
Mm.
I think.
Yeah.
Again, there's this thing we've discussed this before, that the Marky Smith who does an interview isn't necessarily, you know, I mean, it's him, it's an aspect of him, but he says stuff in interviews to make an interesting interview, doesn't he, I think?
He does, and obviously...
Which is fair enough.
Yeah, and obviously he was the Fall, and the Fall was him. And, But there's a kind of thing of him separating himself from any musician who may come and go.
Yeah, but again, which is fair enough, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean... I've seen interviews with him where he said the drummer did this, and do you not know his name? No, Gallagher's a bit like that, isn't he? He says that. He says, hang on a minute.
Yeah, I've seen that with Noel Gallagher. It's the guy who played on there. He was in about Bleeding 15 years. Is it Steve White? Is it? Is that his name? Or is it? No, Alan White, his brother, isn't it?
Because the drummer didn't even know the songs. I mean, hang on.
You don't even know his name. Right, and then the second part of this question is, what would you point at and say, I wouldn't have done that with things Mark did about music? I mean, I've mentioned before the thing on Winter where he wiped the bass and drums. I mean, in a million years, you would be hard-pressed to find anybody else who thought that was a good idea, I think, at the time.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot, I think. It's a good thing and a bad thing with that. Yeah. Is if you came up with an idea or a song, generally it turned out nothing like it what was going on for you.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
There is that one I've said about Look Nowhere. I thought it was going to sound like Dexys Midnight Runners. And it ended up...
It didn't sound like Dexys Midnight Runners. No.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great thing about a band, though.
Definitely. I mean, that's why it's a band, isn't it? You wouldn't, yeah. if it was just you coming in and saying, I want this to sound exactly, which to be fair, Mark didn't do either, really, did he? Most of the time, I don't think.
No, he was quite happy for people to let him, for people to put their part on it.
Yeah. Because I mean, even you know, even stuff he wrote music, the music for it wasn't. By the time it had been through the mill of the fall, it didn't sound like what was going on in his head, did it?
No, and you rarely got told not to play that, and
yeah. Unless it was a drum roll.
Well, then you can't say that either because he got another drummer in.
Yeah, well, actually, I can't remember where I've said that. I think it sometimes he would say stuff, but he would quite, you know, be glad of the pushback. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he'd say just play one note and you didn't just play one note, then I think then whatever X you were playing, had to be really important. You weren't pissing about. If you were going to say, right, I'm not doing what you said, I'm going to do something else, then you'd have to be pretty sure that it was going to be good, I think.
Mm.
Which is a great thing, isn't it? It's one of those things about the fall, isn't it, I suppose?
Well, he did seem to keep that up all the way through, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I was saying about that Wolf Cadult Man and stuff like that. That's the fall. That's that riff, and that's, you know, you could get a song like that in 1981. You could get a song like that in 2014. Yeah. It's quite incredible. But they're not the same. They don't sound like they're trying to play like Mark Riley, or it's them, but it's still the foot, which is, you know.
Yeah.
If only there was a go-to quote for that kind of thing, but never mind. Last question. What were your favourite fall tracks to be involved in the writing and recording of?
Oof.
Steve Walsh, that is.
Well, that changes all the time, doesn't it?
I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, the one I always say is New Puritan, because that kind of got me the gig, really, when he sort of said, we want the drums to start it, and you can, you know, because obviously it had been recorded without any drums at all. I say recorded. Jesus, there's lo-fi.
Yeah, that came up on something the other day. God, it's...
That made me laugh, because obviously... we'll get into grips with the technology of this podcast, and a couple of people saying about the sound's not very good. I thought, bloody hell, you're the fan of the wrong band if the sound.
I'm trying to think of one that I could. Favourite song in the writing and recording?
Yeah. I mean, would it be because of the situation? It wouldn't be because of the. Is it because of the actual song? Or is it just because of the where you were? I mean, that's the thing with New Puritan. I was new in the band, and
it wasn't
necessarily the song, which is great. The song, don't get me wrong, but it was more the situation that I was sort of where I wanted to be. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know why I'm thinking of a couple off Extricate, which is Chicago Now, which I think is really good.
Right.
Rose.
I don't know that. So were you involved when you wrote them, or was it your original idea, or was it something?
Rose was one of those ones where somebody plays something at a sound check, and then somebody plays something else, and you work on it, and then come back to it.
Right.
There's that other one as well, which is kind of around that time. Is that Zagreb?
Oh yeah,
that was another one of that like that.
Right, so it wasn't, and you couldn't really say who wrote it. One of them. But...
I'd say I didn't get a credit.
Okay.
I didn't get a credit when I should have, but there you go. And Chicago Now was.
Right.
I seem to remember me and Simon spending hours and hours in this old warehouse in Ancoats going through that over and over again.
Right. That's very satisfying, isn't it, when you do that? I mean, that's the Hit Priest, I always think, was that, you know, whether you couldn't say, nobody could say, I wrote that, really, could they?
No.
And that's very satisfying. I think it's quite difficult to do when that was nobody's original idea.
Yeah, it's difficult to get right.
Yeah, yeah. It's dead easy to get wrong. Right. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. All right, mate.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers. See you later, mate. Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on Old Brother. We're off on our holidays for a bit, but we've got some great guests lined up for Series 2, which will hopefully be with you later in the year. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter, at Old Brother Show, where you can find a link to Spotify, and subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher or RSS so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, give us a rating on iTunes or tell your friends about us. For further reading, you can check out our books about the fall, The Big Midweek and Have a Bleeding Guess, both available from Root Publishers and all good bookstores. Hope to speak to you all again soon, and remember, if you're driving, take your car. Ta-da!
That was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah.